And we're looking at Ephesians chapter 1 today. This is the second to last sermon in this first chapter. And so if you can turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15. And we're going to take a look at the last part or the last request in this prayer. And that is that God would reveal the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. So last Sunday, I kind of cut off abruptly on that one because I just wanted to spend more time just on that point because there's just so much there in that little bit of a passage. And so over the last couple weeks, we've been looking at this massive, these massive truths in Ephesians chapter 1. These truths that are life-changing truths. And a lot of people within the church, I guess they're just pragmatic. They want to get to, just tell me what I need to do. And I'm going to go out and I'm going to do the things that I need to do. And Paul, he doesn't do that for us. He instead tells us what we need to know. He explains to us what we need to believe. And then he tells us, okay, now do these things. Now that you know what you know and believe what you believe and realize the source of your power, now you can do these things. And so if you want to just jump into chapters 4, 5, 6 and say, okay, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, or don't let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, or husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church, and you just want to jump into all of those good messages about how we should act and how we should be, but you don't want to take the time to focus on chapters 1 through 3, I tell you, you cannot do 4, 5, 6 without believing and knowing 1, 2, 3. It's just that's the way that this letter works. And so whoever did chapter divisions kind of came up with this structure in which chapters 1 through 3 tell us what to believe and how we are to believe, and chapters 4, 5, 6 tell us how to act in light of what we believe. And so we're really going to take the time to not be the pragmatic people we so often want to be, or self-help, you know, we're going to figure this out, we're going to do the right things, and instead we're going to take the time and really jump into what it means that we, all these truths that we've been going over the last couple weeks. And it's funny because Paul, the apostle, he's talking about these truths, and you can almost get this sense in which he realizes that he's talking about things that are so great and so wonderful and so high, these spiritual truths, that he just needs to break it down and really pray for these Christians and say, listen, I've been thinking about this, and you guys, I'm praying that God will open the eyes of your hearts, open your spiritual understanding, that you may understand these things. Yeah, I've told you that you're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You've been adopted by the Father before the foundation of the world, before you were ever created. God had this plan to bring you into his family. You've been redeemed by the Son. You've been paid for by the blood of the Son. And then the Holy Spirit has come upon you, has sealed you, and is now working in you and through you. And these truths are so wonderful, so magnificent. I just want you guys to get this. And so he breaks it down and he prays for them in chapter 1 and verse 15. And hear his awesome prayer. Therefore, he says, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And so we're looking at that verse 19 there. the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. And so the title of the message today is simply God's power. And we're going to be looking at the definition, God's power defined. We're going to look at God's power demonstrated and God's power directed. And so first of all, God's power defined. Now, if your desire today is simply to lead an ordinary life, if you're just like, you know, I just want to get along with people, I want to be kind of a good person, just get through life, you know, do the job thing till I retire, you know, have some kids, have some grandkids, just I want to have a good living, be able to vacation once a year at least, go somewhere warm. If that's your big goal in life is you just want to, you know, just enjoy your life and just someday not make a whole lot of enemies and that's about it, then this sermon's not for you. You see, being a Christian is not about just kind of just getting by and not making too many enemies in this life. Being a Christian is a follower of Jesus Christ. And being a follower of Jesus Christ is bringing a message of life and hope to a lost and a dying world. Being a Christian, as a Christ follower, you are fighting sin. You were an enemy of God. Now you are a child of God, and you are now fighting sin, and you are now bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ, bringing light and hope. You are salt and you are light on this earth. And if your expectation is that you want to bring as many people with you into eternity in the presence of Jesus Christ, if you want to expand the family of God, if you want to fight sin in your life, if you want to bring up godly children and see a generation of people changed by the power of God, then this sermon is for you. Because you can't do that apart from the power of God. You need the power. You need God's power. And so this is, I really look at it and I think, you know, even when it comes to, if you have a church where people just come together and they're just like, I go to church because that's what, you know, you do. You go to church on Sundays. My parents went to church. I go to church. And then I just do whatever throughout the week. And then I go to church again the next week. And if you're just kind of happy with that routine and that's just, you know, that's just what I do, and yet it doesn't change the way that you live, really, when it comes to the enemy, and there is an enemy, there is a God and there is a devil and there are demons. When it comes to the enemy, he's not going to look at that church or those people and think, oh, I better work there and stop that. Satan, the devil, he just leaves those churches alone. He just leaves those people alone because they're not going anywhere anyways. You know where he's going to direct his attention? You know where the attack of the enemy is going to come? It's when you step out in faith and you just start, make any forward progress in knowing God better, in loving him more, in loving people and serving people, in shining in the darkness. That is where you're going to see the attack of the enemy. And that then is where you better be prepared. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand. And so that's what we're looking at today, is we want to look at this power defined, it's demonstrated, and it's directed here in this passage. We talk a lot about, in culture, they talk a lot about superheroes. Remember back in the day when it used to just be the superheroes in the DC comics? And it was like Superman, and there was Batman, and all of these superheroes. And we're attracted to that idea of power, having supernatural power, the ability to do something that nobody else can do. And then along comes Marvel. And it's funny because Marvel brought back what was the original superpowers, right? Thor, the Greek and the Norse gods, and they had their own superheroes. They had their pantheon of these gods with their powers, and they were like, sometimes there's like part god, part man, and just that understanding of, you know, being able to have this secret power that you could do things that are great. And you wonder where your desire is. Why is it that people are so attracted to that? Why is it they love the Marvel movies? And I think it's because God has created us in his image, and he's created us with a deep desire to be connected with him, the God of all power, who then works in us in his great power to accomplish his purposes in this earth. And I tell you, there is no limit to his power, to his resources. And so here he defines his power, and I love the definition of his power. It is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. the exceeding greatness of his power. And when we look at those words, I sometimes kind of geek out with the Greek, and I'm going to do that a little bit today because I love how these words are. The one word here for the exceeding is the word from which we get our word hyperbole. Is that how you say that, hyperbole? A hyperbole would be where you say, I'm so hungry, I could eat a horse. Can you really eat a horse, Jason? Are you that hungry? No. We say those words because I remember my mom once did this to one of my niece. She used hyperbole every single day. She's like, I want 10 pancakes, she would say. And then, so my mom's like, she gives her 10 pancakes. And then she's like, okay, you eat those 10 pancakes. And so I was like, Mom, come on. She's just using hyperbole. But hyperbole was a Greek term. But the funny thing is it actually wasn't the way we use it. Hyperbole, this hyperbole in the Greek is Paul saying exceedingly. In other words, God can do, he takes something and throw it beyond and throw it so far that it's beyond anything you could imagine. It's so ridiculously crazy far to throw it. It literally means to throw beyond that we've turned it into this hyperbole, this thing which, you know, is impossible to do. But this here is actually saying, no, God can do this. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can think or do. And so that's what exceeding means. And then greatness is an awesome word, megathon. Where do you think you get mega? That's where we get mega from, right? Whenever there's something really big, we say it's a mega whatever. And, you know, you think about sharks. They're scary and bad enough as it is, right? There's the great white shark. I mean, it's great and it's, you know, scary. It's got a big, you know, it's 10, 15 feet long. And so when we had to name this new shark that we discovered existed a long time ago, the megalodon, 50 to 60 feet. I mean, you can't even wrap your brain around it. It's like this 10-foot wide jaw. It can literally just two people, if you're scuba diving, it could just take two of you in one mouthful. That's how massive this thing is. What do we call it? Well, let's put mega in its name because it's mega. It's huge. And so here Paul's saying, okay, here, you want to know what God's power is? The word for God's power is dunamis. So it's like the word we get dynamite from or dynamic. And it's dunamis. This is the word itself. But let's throw in front of it two words. One that says it's exceeding. It's cast beyond anything you can imagine. It blows your concept of power out of the water. And not only that, but then it's great in the sense that it's larger than anything you can think of. It is mega, megathon is the word. And it's dunamis. This is God's power. You see the adjectives? Paul's just stacking them up. He's just making new words. I mean, the great thing about the Greek language is you can do that. You can make these words that help to fit what he is communicating. And so this is how he defines God's great power. Psalm 95:3, for the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. Now, I could go on and on with Greek words all day, and I'm not going to do that. But if you ever want to, you know, go a little deeper on this passage, just look up the search or Google the Greek words in Ephesians chapter 1 that describe the power of God. And you're going to see the dunamis, the energy, the energeia, the kratos, the ischus. It's like Paul doesn't just use, he can't just use one or two. He's got to use four words to describe God's power. And every one of those words takes us to a different understanding of God's power. You know, one of them is kind of like understanding that, like maybe an understanding that you see a big dam and there's huge amounts of water, vast resource of water, and it's coming out through the source at the front and creating power. And it's saying, okay, you know, the one word is kind of saying the source of the power, what's behind it. Yes, this is how much power is coming out, but look at what's coming behind. In other words, it's just unlimited. It's vast beyond anything that you could possibly imagine. Another one is, you know, just talking about the perpetual power. That's one thing that we talk about a lot is we talk about the need for some sort of energy that's going to be perpetual. And it's like, yeah, if only we could have the power of the sun, you know? That thing is just unlimited in its energy with its ability to create, I guess it's nuclear fusion. And then we try to create that on a smaller scale. And they talk about someday, maybe we'll have that. And you look at even shipping, how it's being changed. I saw an article yesterday about how these huge container ships are, some of them are going to be nuclear in the future. So they're going to have that ability to just, you know, not have to fuel off, just back and forth in perpetuity. And to have that type of power, it's just like such an awesome thought. And these are the words that Paul is trying to convey to us with our limited language. And English was even more limited than the Greek. And so I'm trying to convey. All I can do today is say, God, give the people of Sweets Church an revelation and a understanding. Open the eyes of their understanding or their hearts so that they can see what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. And so then Paul's like, okay, now I've thrown at you all these words, all these adjectives. I want to show you now God's power demonstrated. That's the second point. God's power. This is incredible power. It's not just described, it's demonstrated to us. And so how are we going to demonstrate this great power? Now, when they created when they first started talking about the power in the atom and the splitting of the atom, do you remember that? Probably not. It's before most of your days. I remember those. I don't know. Actually, it's before my date as well. But they talked about the power of the atom and that when they split it, that it would perpetuate and it would other atoms would be split in the process and it would blow out and just create this explosion. And they talked about it theoretically. And they try to communicate, okay, we're working on something here that is mind-boggling. This is going to be a great power. And so, you know, theoretically, we could talk about these things and talk about them, right? And we can say, yes, that is great power. If that could happen, that would be great power. But then when they started bringing out these videos of showing a nuclear bomb going off in an ocean or in a desert, and they saw the great destruction and the power. And you think about that as such a demonstration of something that was theoretically true, but now it's demonstrated and people saw the demonstration. Fear. Remember the fear back in the day they talked about kids doing exercises where they go under their school desk? Oh, that's going to really help you. You know, but they talked about how they're going to, you know, and this is the world that they lived in, that this great power was unleashed on the world. And it was a great power for evil, really. But now, you think about Paul. He's talking about this great power. He's thrown all the adjectives and every word he can imagine. He's like, okay, I want to show you the demonstration of that power. And the demonstration of that power is the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That God became man. That God, in the man Jesus Christ, he lowered himself. He took upon us his sins. He lowered himself to death, the worst kind of death, the death of the cross. He died. He was dead 3 days. His body was dead. But the Spirit of God, that great power, the Spirit of the Holy Spirit is a spirit of resurrection. And that resurrection, that coming to life, and then the glorification and the exaltation and lifted up above the name that is above every name. Jesus over every power, principality, power, the spiritual hosts. He was lifted up and seated at the right hand of the Father on high. That is the demonstration. And this power of the Holy Spirit was evident throughout the life of Jesus right from the very beginning. Remember that it was the Holy Spirit that it was spoken of to Mary by an angel in Luke 1:36, that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. And Jesus came into this world. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then you remember that his ministry started at the point where he was baptized. Matthew 3:16 says that when he was baptized, he came up out of the water and immediately the Holy Spirit came upon him in the form of a dove. The Holy Spirit empowered him and empowered his ministry, empowered him as he went out into the wilderness and as he fought with the word of God, his own word. The word became flesh and the word defeated the temptations by the power of the Holy Spirit in the wilderness. And then when he went back into Galilee, he went in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're told by Peter in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38 that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all of those who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Everything Jesus did was spirit empowered. And we are told that we are to be imitators of God, right? Later in Ephesians, be imitators of God as dear children. We are told that we are to imitate Jesus. Paul puts it this way, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:1. John, 1 John 2:6, he puts it this way, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walks. We're supposed to walk as Jesus walked. We are supposed to imitate others as they imitate Christ. In other words, we are to imitate Jesus. And Peter says in 1 Peter 2:21, for this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you also should follow in his steps. So how are we to follow Christ? We are to follow this great demonstration of power by continuing to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is made clear to us. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. It is his ability and his power that works in us. And this is the power that is demonstrated to us. Romans 8:11. I don't know if any of you are there yet with your memory work. Our church decided to memorize Romans 8 in this year. And so I just want to encourage you to keep on going with that. But it says, but if the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. And so you have resurrection power, the power that is shown and demonstrated in the person of Jesus Christ. This power that was defined here in Ephesians chapter 1 is demonstrated in Jesus Christ. And this resurrection power is now working inside of you. Third point is that this power is directed. Look again at our passage in Ephesians 1:19. He prays that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they would know what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. You understand this? This power that is thrown, it is a throw beyond anything you can imagine. This power which is mega, this power which is dynamite, dunamis, it's dynamic, it's God's power, this great power that has been shown in the person of Jesus Christ. It's the resurrection power that brought Jesus from death to life and overcame sin and death at the cross and brought Jesus to the place of the right hand of the majesty on high. That power is now directed toward us who believe. It's not saying those who try to work up enough faith. It's saying towards believers, towards you. This power is just there for you, accessible for you. What an awesome, awesome truth. Most of the powerlessness that we face in walking and following after Christ simply exists because we don't know the truth of the resurrection power. We live as if this isn't true because the eyes of our understanding have not been enlightened. We don't open ourselves up to this truth that scripture conveys to us. Years ago, you guys know I took up a little sport called kiteboarding. I thought to myself that I was going to learn this thing on my own. I went to the school of YouTube. right? And people warn against that. They say, now I read this online. People are like, do not watch YouTube and think you can do this. You should go to a school. And I watched YouTube and I went out in the field. And I remember, it's like flying a kite, right? So I said to my kids, just go downwind and throw the kite in the air. Because that's what you do when you have those little triangle kites. Found out later on, that's called a hot launch. Very, very, very dangerous, only to be done by expert kiters under the right conditions. And so the kids, it's dangerous for my kids too. I had no clue. But they're holding this huge 15-meter kite and they throw it in the air and then I hot launch and just go flying across the field. And it's just crazy. Down in near Port Maitland, I did another hot launch and put my kite right into a tree. And I did another one and I put my kite in the tree at my house once I hit the hydro lines in Port Dover. I mean, just, I am surprised that I survived this, but now I am an expert. But when I was early on in my days, I once even had it where I got, I thought I could go out in an offshore wind. I got dragged out and some people in Turkey Point, some seniors rescued me on the boat. They drive up beside me. They're like, are you okay? I'm like, no, I'm not. And they saved me. They brought me into their boat and I, took all my kites and lines in. It was very embarrassing. One thing I learned, though, early on is something that's very deadly. It's called the death loop. And the kite, what happens, I went up for what I was supposed to be a jump and it ended badly. And the kite lines got caught around my bar that you wear around your waist. And what it does is it puts the kite in a position that tells the kite, just go like this, as fast as you can. And this is what the kite does. And so it's like you're constantly in power-up mode as fast as you can. And my body is doing this across, you ever see a stone skip on the water? Like that. And that's my body just skipping across the water. But a YouTube video came back to my mind. So yeah, the YouTube did help. And I remember a guy talking about the death loop. I thought, you know what? Death loop? I should watch this video. And so I was in a death loop. And so I did what he told me to do. And that's grab onto the white lines and pull them down. And then the kite will depower and fall into the water. A lot of people don't know that and they end up just dying because you can't even get out of it because your lines are tangled. So you can't even pull your release. Because your lines are tangled. And so it has killed one or two kiteboarders. And so I did it and I got back into shore. But I remember thinking, if that wind was stronger yet, I wouldn't even be able to take myself out of that. That would have been bad. So I said to my kiteboarding buddies, I was like, from now on, I'm taking a knife with me on the water. Because that, I would want to be able to rescue myself. And my kiteboarding buddy comes up to me and he pulls something on my belt. He pulls it really hard and he shows me. I have a knife. Like I didn't know I had this on me. And the realization of, if I was in trouble and I didn't know that that was there. And I said all of that, one, to wake you up. Stories always get your mind just going, right? But I said that to say this, that God's power is there. It's not for those who just believe a little extra, but rather it's for those who believe. It is there for you that simply what then activates the power of God is just being obedient and doing the things that God has called you to do by his Spirit. Just step out in faith. And I can guarantee that you this, you head out in the day, you pray in the morning and say, God, give me an opportunity to shine for you, to serve someone, love someone, to shine your light, and most importantly, to open my mouth to show forth your praise, to give the opportunity for me to plant a seed of your gospel in somebody's life today. You pray that prayer, and then when the opportunity presents itself, instead of being, I don't have the right words to say, I'm not equipped for this, I don't say things right, I'm gonna come across wrong, I'm gonna offend them, instead of pulling out all the excuses, but instead to step out in faith and in boldness and just tell somebody about God and his goodness, God and his righteousness, his holiness, and the amazing gift of Jesus Christ, the one who's given us life. Talk to people about how beautiful God's creation is and that in his created order, but talk to them as well about the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we are broken and fallen, and apart from Jesus, we're nothing. And that we can simply trust in him and he can bring us to a place of life. And you're like, well, I don't have the words for that. Jesus even said, If you don't have the words, when the opportunity presents itself, I'll give you the words. I'll remind you of the things that you need to say. I'll remind you of that sermon you heard. The Holy Spirit is there. But you'll never experience the power of the Holy Spirit unless you take a step of faith. Whether it's in defeating sin in your life, or sharing the gospel, or doing those hard things that you think are too hard for you, like memorizing Romans 8. Oh, I can't do that. Do you not think that the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead, who dwells in you, will not help you with memorizing a puny little chapter of Romans 8? 39 verses? It's not impossible that God's Spirit can help you to have that amazing treasure. Do you not think that the Spirit of God wants you to have that incredible treasure as a resource for you every single day as you go out and live this life He's called you to live? You better believe it. You know, a lot of times people love those stories, those movies and stories where they talk about human potentiality that we only use, you know, 10% of our brain, right? Those movies, and they're like, we have a new drug that unlocks 100% potential, and then these humans take the pill or whatever, and they unlock, and now they're limitless, or they're, you know, they have all of this ability, and it's like, wow, if only humans had 100% use of their brains. It's a really neat thought, only the truth is, you all use 100% of your brains. And look at the world. This is what we end up with people with using 100% of their brains. They're all using their 100% of their brains, and look at the mess that the world is in. Look at the confusion. Look at the darkness. But the beautiful thing is this. You weren't created to live independent of God. You were created to live in union with Him, to rely on Him for His resource and His power. And I tell you, you know, you want to see that huge power and that huge possibility, you take God's creation and bring it back into fellowship with the Creator through the person of Jesus Christ, empowered by the Spirit of God. And I tell you that life is forever changed when that takes place and when you trust God and you walk by faith. And we see this in the four Gospels. We get to see Jesus doing all these amazing things by the Spirit of God, working by the Spirit of God, healing and preaching and all these miracles and lives change. And you see these people, and every time they can come in contact with Jesus, they're just amazed because of realizing who God is and all of this amazing stuff happening. And you see the disciples cowering in the background, and they're arguing over who gets to sit at Jesus's right hand in heaven. And they're see the Samaritans, and they're like, Jesus, you want us to call down fire from heaven to burn those guys up? And it's like, are they ever going to get it? And then something happens in Acts. And those timid disciples, the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and they are changed. The power of God, I tell you, step out in faith, trust Him, and God will do great things. Let's stand up together. We're going to pray. Father, we thank You so much that Your word is living and powerful. It's sharp. As we feel conviction today, as I feel conviction by these words, realizing how little I rely on Your power, how I rely on my strength, on my ability, I ask that God, You would move me by Your Spirit to do the works that You've called me to do, that You would call each of us and move us in the direction in which You have designed us, the good works which You have planned for us in advance, that we should walk in them, and that this would be done by Your power. Father, I ask that each person here would take that step of faith with whatever it is, that whatever sin that is besetting, that they're struggling with, that's holding them back, that they would throw it aside and trust that God, you would meet them with your power in overcoming, with boldness to present your word, sharing their faith for the first time, that they would be bold enough to open their mouths to plant that seed and to trust that God, we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. That there is power in your gospel. There is power in their testimony. We ask that you would protect their minds from any attacks of the enemy to steal this encouragement this morning, to blind them from this truth. Father, that they would stand being strong in the Lord, strong in you and in the power of your might, putting on your full armor. Father, I thank you for what you're going to do through and in this church. We continue to lift up Maddie into your presence, that you would provide for her by your power, that you would heal her mind, heal her body. Give her a breakthrough of your mighty power in her life. Father, we thank you for bringing Eileen, Shannon's mom, into saving relationship with you. We prayed last week, Lord, and we thank you so much for answering our prayer. I thank you, Lord, that you would comfort and strengthen Eileen and that you would be there for Shannon. And I thank you that you will be there for their family, that you will be their strength, their source in this time. And Father, we thank you for these amazing Samaritan's purse boxes that you've blessed our church with, being able to provide for the countries around the world. And I thank you that they will be an amazing blessing as lives are changed, as people hear the gospel for the first time. We thank you for these children that would receive these boxes. And I ask that every one of them would be seen as such an act of love to these young people, and that this would be life-changing for them, and that they would receive the ultimate gift, that is Jesus. God, allow us to go out of here in your power and strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.